Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
You know what, man? It's such a privilege to be here this afternoon, this morning. And it's also such an honor and such a privilege to be able just to hear those kind of words from Pastor Paul. I've known him going on 19, 20 years when I came into the men's home when I was, messed up. And he's been there for me all through the way. And listen, when it wasn't always a good way. How many know the journey with the Lord's full of bumps and full of roads that sometimes we need to be challenged on. But I thank God for you, Pastor. Honestly, I love you. And I really do see you as my spiritual father. And Sister Vicky, we love you as well. We love you with all of our hearts. And Manchester Church, we love you too. And I know that some of you don't know me, and that's all right, and it should be that way. Because we left a few years ago, and if everybody knew me, that means that the church wouldn't be growing. So if you don't know me, that's a good thing. Amen. So welcome, and we look forward to getting to know you maybe later on after the service. I'm just grateful for my salvation, man. As Pastor said, I was part of a group that came through Victory Outreach London there from Pastor Mitchell and Sister Nelly, and then part of a group again that then God brought up here to Manchester. And I've just loved Manchester, man. Manchester's my home. Come on, if you're from Manchester, you should be saying amen. Come on, don't let a Scottish person be more passionate about your city than you are. I love Manchester, man. I love all the Caribbean takeaway places that are here. Come on, I love Chicken Run and Mossside, and come on, I love all these places, man. I love all these different things. Come on, I love Man United. Is there any Man United supporters here? I know there's another team in Manchester, but we'll leave that just now. But please don't switch off whatever you do. But no, we're blessed to be here, and my wife and I, we're grateful people, man. We are nobodies that God rescued, and we stand here today by His grace. And also, if you're watching online, we just want to welcome you wherever you're watching from. We know that we have some people from Scotland watching. My parents are watching. I think Lindsay's watching, and some different people. Whoever you are, you're welcome, and we pray that you're blessed today. You know, God really placed a word upon my heart. Obviously, it's a United We Can message today, and there's a theme to it, like a theme of mission or a theme of answering the call. But as Pastor said, and he just confirmed it there, today I want to speak about God's heart. I want to speak about God's heart. And right now we're in this season of fasting and prayer. And listen, I just want to let you into a little secret. I started fasting and prayer on January the 6th. For some reason, I thought that Manchester was starting to fast and pray on January the 6th. And it wasn't until about a few days ago, I'm like, man, I've only got 2 days left. And I start looking at all the different websites and pages, and they're saying we've got 6-7 days left. So I started early by mistake. And then I told somebody last night, and they said, well, maybe God wants you to fast a little bit longer. So I'm not going to finish the fast. I'm going to keep going. But how many people have enjoyed the fast? Only about 3 or 4 of us here, man. What's up? Come on, how many people have endured the fast? That's more like it, huh? Well, see, as we've been coming towards the end of the fast, I've been starting to sound like my children in the back of the car. I've been saying, are we there yet? Are we nearly there yet? Because fasting's not easy, but it's necessary, and it's important. And because some of the reasons that we fast is because God wants us to tune our hearts in, to really focus in on what's really important. I mean, yeah, we want to fast because we want to be, we want to be equipped to enter into the narrow gate. How many of us need to get a little bit more narrow? I know that I feel narrow after this fast, man, honestly. Listen, you know when you start, if you eat or if you drink loads of like sodas and fizzy drinks and you eat loads of chicken and loads of meats, then you go on to like this water and just all that stuff. You start to lose your belly a little bit. So I feel like I'm being prepared for the narrow gate right now. But it's good to deny ourselves. It's good to deny ourselves too, for us to decrease and for God to increase. And also, but most importantly, it aligns our heart with the heart of God. We begin to correctly position ourselves to God's will. And that's what I believe has been happening all over this church. Let me just say a word of prayer before I get into the word this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this awesome church and these awesome pastors and this awesome vision that you have us in today. We thank you, Lord, that not only are we grateful to be saved, but God, we're also grateful that there's a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your heart, that, Lord, your heart is to see people saved. That, Lord, yes, we need buildings, and yes, we need programs, and yes, we need structures and systems, and yes, we need all of those things, but without people, none of those things are necessary. So, Lord, we ask this afternoon, Spirit of God, break us. Break us. Bring us into alignment with the heart of God. Let us see how you see. Let us feel like you feel. Give us your heart today, God, we ask this. Jesus, we thank you for dying upon the cross. If you thought this mission was worth dying for, then Lord, we should at least see this mission worth living for. Help us today, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to thank God for my wife as well, who's stood up here, and as many of you know, she's beautifully pregnant. Amen. That sounded like it was a surprise. You know, so we thought, if we're going to birth the baby church, we might as well have another baby as well. I mean, things are going to get difficult, so we might as well throw a baby in there and have a baby at the same time. But we're grateful to God, and I thank God for my wife, man. She's an amazing woman, and you can see her passion when she stands up here. You can see her passion. You can feel her heart. It's because she has God's heart. The Spirit of God is always speaking if we're listening. When we separate ourselves in prayer and fasting, this is why we do it. If you're not praying while you're fasting, then you're just starving. You're just on a keto diet. Or you're just on a diet. You're not actually seeking the heart of God. And you can tell those who have been praying and fasting, because they're the ones that are usually ready to go, to be, and to do everything God has planned for their life. You can tell those that have been fasting and separating from God because they have a new hunger for worship. They have a new hunger for prayer. They have a new hunger for the Word of God. When we start our fast, me anyway, for the first 2 or 3 days, I'm looking through the cupboards, thinking, what can I eat that doesn't have sugar in it? What can I eat that's not covered in chocolate? You know, we start to search through the cupboards you've not been in for years. You start to look in all different places. You start to go online. What can I eat? Come on, who was searching, what can I eat on the fast? That was me for the first few days. The flesh was raging. But after a few days, I started getting into the Bible and I started reading God's word. And I started to really ask God. I said, God, through this season, I really need you. I really need you to speak. I really need to hear from you. I really need to understand you. And you know what the Lord started to do? He started to show me his heart. Because when you get close to God and when you really, really, really read the word, not for an answer. You're not reading the word for an answer for a problem, but you're just reading the word to get to know the author. You're reading the word to get to know God. You're not just reading it so you can post a scripture on Instagram or post a scripture on Facebook. Look at me, I've got a huge big, you know, Bible. But really, we're separating ourselves to really sense and to seek the heart of God. And at the beginning of this year, the reason that we fast is to sense the heart of God. I've just said that. But it creates a direction for us for the rest of the year. And I've been listening to the messages over the last 3 weeks. I've heard Pastor Anthony talk about course correction. I heard Pastor James talk about what was it he talked about again? Anyway, he talked something great, man. He spoke something great. Check it on the podcast. But he spoke a great message. But you know, they've all been positioning. Listen, trust me. I'm opening my heart to you here. If you're going to be speaking to people about stuff, make sure you take a note of it. Because I never took a note of what he spoke on, and I've just dropped. But you know, if you were here, you should know, right? You should have notes in your Bible. Come on, somebody. You should have a notebook full of notes. Anyway, I've just exposed myself on that. So, but anyway, the Lord gave me a word, and I have a heading for the word, and it's called SAS. SAS. United We Can. Now, many of us, we watch the program on Channel 4 called SAS, Who Dares Wins. Are there any SAS fans that watch the SAS program on Channel 4? I love it too. Amen. It's one of the best programs. But did you know that Jesus was the original SAS? Did you know that Jesus isn't special forces? He's a supernatural force. Did you know that Jesus is the original SAS member? In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, this is the mission of Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Seek and save, man. He is the original SAS. And as we start off the beginning of this year, we can have many plans and many ideas and many dreams about what we want to see come to play within this year. But listen, if you love Jesus, if you say that Jesus' heart is my heart, that God's heart is my heart, then our heart should be the same heart as Jesus, and our heart for 2020 should be, I want to be someone that seeks and saves the lost. It's one of the most fulfilling things you can ever do, is to align your heart with God. It's to cut away all the things that you don't need or you don't desire. It's one of the things that happens when you go in the mission field, when you separate yourself from the things of luxury and the things that you would normally seek. You begin to understand actually that life is very simple. That if we call ourselves Christians, then the story of Jesus should be our story. The story of the cross should be our story. The story of salvation and restoration and discipline and discipleship should be our story. The problem is that every one of us, we have free will. Every one of us, we have a worldview, a way of thinking, a perspective and a frame that we see life through. We've been raised a certain way. We've been brought up a certain way. We've been taught a certain way. So we see things through a certain lens and through a certain perspective. And based on the perspective that we have, we make decisions every day based on how we see the world, on how we see the future happening. There's a major battle happening in front of our eyes that we don't see. We've been indoctrinated by Instagram and indoctrinated by reality TV shows. We've been indoctrinated by Love Island. Some of you are saying, what's that? That's the right thing to say. And those of you that said amen, I wonder why you say amen. But there's a major battle happening. And as we shift towards this end time that we're living in Christ, there's an urgency and there's an importance that we get back to the root and the very heart of God, and we start to separate ourselves from the things that are not important. We begin to separate the things that we don't need. We begin to separate our things from all the things that really don't matter at the end of the day. Most of us were not even aware that this battle is going on. Most of us were unaware that it's happening right in front of us. The way we see things, what we see, what we read defines our reality. It defines our experiences. It defines the events and the processes and the decisions that we make every day. But if we're Christian, and I'm coming back to the point, and I'm going to hammer it to hopefully, I can't hammer it any longer. If we are Christians, if we are born again into the kingdom of God, if we have a Lord and a Master, if we are submitted to the plan in the kingdom of heaven, then the story of Christ should be the story of this church. The mission of Christ should be the mission of this church. The mission of Christ should be our mission. And that's what fasting and prayer does. It separates that which is not important, and it focuses in on the heart of God. And I've been praying. You know what? At the beginning of the year, I started fasting and I started praying. As you know, I started early. I started before you, so I was already repenting before you guys. Trust me. But I was on my knees before God, man. I was reading this book and I was repenting. I'm saying, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me for my lack of prayer this past year. I said, Lord, please forgive me for my lack of fasting this last year. I said, Lord, please forgive me for my lack of caring for people. Lord, please forgive me for my lack of faith. Lord, please forgive, even though I've been on the mission field for the last 2 years, I say, Lord, please forgive me for my lack of soul winning. As if it's just some type of event that we do on a Saturday when we get some speakers out and we blast loud and we shout about Jesus Christ. We make it an event rather than a lifestyle. It's an everyday lifestyle. The Bible says, listen, Jesus knew his mission. He knew his purpose. And every decision that he got up every morning, every decision that he made was based upon the purpose, which was to seek and save those who were being lost. But I've got good news for you today that your decision-making and your perspectives are not set in stone. They're dynamic. They can change. They can change shape. They can change how they look. You can change how you think. Listen, you can change the way that you see things. Your decision makings are not absolute, they're contextual. Whatever situation you find yourself in, maybe you found yourself in a situation where you made bad decisions because based on the context, based on the situation, based on the location. But when you become a Christian, when you give your life to God, your context changes, your situations change, your mind changes, your life becomes dynamic, your thoughts are not passively observed, but they're actively constructed every day. Every day we're building our life more to Christ. Every day we're submitting more to Christ. Every day we're saying, Lord, your will be done in my life. Lord, every day, my God, I want to seek and save the lost. Through fasting and prayer, we align ourselves with the story in the heart of God. We begin to get that overwhelming love for the sinner. We begin to understand again his plan for redemption right from the very beginning. Jesus Christ was the answer for sin for all mankind. And we understand what makes heaven rejoice. And I'm going to really finish here because I know time's short right now. Come back for part two. But you know what happens when you get the heart of God? You learn what makes God happy. You learn what is important to him. You get his heart. As I was reading the scriptures, man, I was broken. I was getting God's heart. I started to look at Luke chapter 15. And listen, it's one of my favorite chapters, Luke 15. It gives three different accounts. It talks one of the lost sheep, one of the lost coin, and one of the prodigal son who came home. Three times. One in each story. In fact, the first two stories, Jesus says, rejoice with me. And the third of the prodigal son, he says, let's celebrate. Let's get the party started. That's God's heart. Let's celebrate. But listen to this. Luke 15, verse 67. It says, when he arrives, he will call together his friends. This is the shepherd, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed. Listen, I come to let us know this morning, God doesn't rejoice over a full church of people coming to church. God doesn't rejoice over 300 people sitting in a venue. He rejoices at one soul. One soul. Listen, Jesus and heaven rejoiced when you first came in. We have to get the heart of God. It's not just about coming to church. It's about who we bring into church. I heard Pastor say last week, if each person brought one person, then we would need to go into triple services. I want to ask the worship team to come back right now. And I want to encourage us. Let's get God's heart. Let's focus in and get God's heart. I'm saying this, and I believe this is a word from the Lord. And trust me, I don't see these things very lightly. I believe this is a word from the Lord. That if we lose the art of rejoicing, we lose the heart of God. If we've lost the art of rejoicing over one, we've lost the heart of God. And you know, sometimes in church we see people come in and we see people go, and under our breath we're saying, I wonder how long he'll last for this time. We see somebody coming back and we think, oh, it's great to see them back, but underneath our breath, or maybe we're thinking, I wonder how long they'll last for this time. I want to encourage us today. At the beginning of this year, as we're still fasting and praying, to take on the mission of Christ. You see, the world says search and rescue, but that's what you do for a dog. Jesus said seek and save. That's what he does for his children. If we have the heart of God, when you see somebody that's not making it, you see it as God's child. If your child was missing, what would you do? You'd be like the woman in the next parable. Man, she swept the room. Man, she looked down on her knees. Man, she was in the cracks. Man, she never gave up until she found that thing. I wonder how many people we know right now who are missing. I wonder how many people we know right now are struggling and haven't came to church this morning. I wonder how many people we know within our life, within our ministry, within our family, within our church, within our people. I wonder how many people we know that need to be sought after and brought to God.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vlmanchester.org for more information.